Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Don't you love sports?
Absolutely.
Just keeps going.
Especially when sports loves us.
It's always some kind of drama.
I'll put it this way. If it bleeds, it leads. How many times have we talked about that?
Facts.
Who knew that sports would be part of that as well? He's Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We want to hear from you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Kevin Durant has made his demands known to the Brooklyn Nets. He wants out. He wants to be traded. They said, fine, we'll accommodate you. Which superstar benefit the most from teaming up with KD? We'll take your calls in about 5-10 minutes at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Meanwhile, when it comes to Kevin Durant, the future is now when it comes to him and Kyrie Irving. And Mark J. Spears of Antscape, as an NBA writer, when he was on ESPN Radio on Sunday morning, he talked about how Kevin Durant may be able to do a slide back, not to Oklahoma City, but to the Golden State Warriors.
The one team I'm telling you guys is keep an eye on is the Golden State Warriors. Golden State could have the best package for both parties. Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, All-Star Andrew Wiggins, and former number two pick James Wiseman. What the Nets want is they want a young All-Star or perhaps a future All-Star. They're all under 30. They also want picks, maybe the ability to swap picks. But if you can get those four players, if I'm the Nets, I'm very, very happy. And for Kevin Durant, the Warriors, they're very familiar with, and vice versa.
This ought to be good. You breathe into the microphone.
I'm trying to just take a second. I get, Freddie, that on paper, this can make sense.
Okay, but?
But if you're part of Kevin Durant's camp, if you're Rich Kleiman, who kind of runs the business and is his partner in a lot of things, you really have to sit down and weigh in what the legacy of Kevin Durant actually is.
Okay.
Kevin Durant is one of the most prolific basketball players the game of basketball has ever seen. Like, I've been around Rich. I know how they look at his brand. I know how they view it. It's always pristine. They keep it in an incredible light. But when somebody like this floats this out there and you start thinking about, could this be reality? Because the pieces kind of match up. In my brain, as a fan of the unicorn that Kevin Durant is on the basketball court, I do not want to see his legacy end up being something that people will frame. True basketball people will never frame it this way because we understand how crazy talented, how special he is. But the everyday person will build a narrative of, well, see, KD can't win without Steph. It won't say, well, they can't win without each other because Steph has won two without KD.
That is true.
Steph has just proven that he can win a championship. So coming off a championship in which people built this narrative, oh, this is one of the main reasons why KD wants to get out. Didn't work out with Kyrie. And you heard this kind of linger out there, right, Freddie? Well, also, it's really, he's kind of frustrated because Golden State just won two, and he doesn't like that.
See, I thought that a little bit as well, but then I said, you know what, that's an easy, lazy narrative.
I mean, it happens that way. Is KD happy about it? I'm sure he's not. He's probably happy for his brothers, right? But the dude's competitor, he wants to win. But is he leaving Brooklyn because Golden State? No, he's not. He's not leaving Brooklyn because Golden State just won a championship. But how does it look if he leaves Brooklyn to go to Golden State after they just won a championship?
It's a bad look.
I can't. It's a horrible look. And I wouldn't want that for him. Now, look, they're able to make whatever decision they want to make. Right? They've been making decisions that way the whole time. What would happen after that? We wouldn't be talking about how great Kevin Durant is as a basketball player as much. People would feel the void of talking about, well, see, he couldn't do it on his own.
Yeah.
And he fouled Kyrie, so now he's going to go back to fouling somebody that he knows comes with no drama and probably needs to be, you know, look, there's something to be said about going partnering with Steph Curry to be collaborative. But people won't look at it as it being collaborative. They'll look at it as, well, you're going back to Steph because that's the way you need to win.
I've heard this term, and I heard it a little bit more this weekend, when it comes to basketball happiness, that is something you should never, ever try to find. And the reason that people look for basketball happiness is because of what Golden State's been able to do. They look like a happy basketball team. Even when they weren't winning, even 2 years ago, 15-win team, people were throwing dirt on Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green in terms of winning championships, saying it was never, ever going to happen again. But they always found a way to make sure that, hey, no matter what, we ride. To use the line from the movie, we ride together, we die together.
Yes.
Bad Boys for Life. We ride together, we rise together. Golden State Warriors for Life. They look like a basketball happy team. And people attached that to Kevin Durant. And when he had that opportunity, he wasn't happy enough for whatever reason. I think the basketball happiest he's ever been was when Oklahoma City was able to rise up and make themselves a player, Jay, in the NBA, because it was him, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka. They were young dudes on the come up. It wasn't about egos. It wasn't about this. It wasn't about that. I thought in terms of basketball happiness, that's when he was the happiest. The minute that that pressure got ratcheted up, when they did not win the NBA Finals, and people say, hey, it's only a matter of time. And then they lost a 3-1 lead to Golden State. Then he goes to Golden State and they win, and everybody expected that. Then he goes to Brooklyn. People say, well, what are you going to do? To me, the basketball happiness that he's searching for is never going to be 100%, mainly because, A, it doesn't happen, and, B, because he's Kevin Durant.
If he did find a way to go down to Miami,
mm-hmm.
that's a culture that, I mean, absolutely. Miami, Golden it's State him. Have two of the best cultures in the game of basketball. That Miami, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, like that's an environment that fits who he is.
Absolutely. That no question.
Rugged, in your face, lock up, defend.
Take no prisoners.
And it feels like at times they go through these offensive droughts where Kevin Durant would fix a lot of that.
Absolutely.
Right?
No doubt.
But the question is, I mean, with the issue is that it can't trade Bam Adebayo, right? So he's off the table. And what assets could they get in return? If KD wants to go play with Jimmy Butler, you can't swap that out. Maybe you could, but...
But why would you want to, though?
If you're KD, why would you want to go do that? So, like, a lot of times for players at this stage of their career, inserting themselves into the right culture is way more feasible than them saying, I want to actually create the right culture.
Mm-hmm.
Typically,
true.
You create the right culture by growing up in the franchise or going to another one when you're younger, where you're willing to put in that time and effort, and then it pans out that way. Like, you know, Kawhi was still trying to – I mean, he grew up in a great culture with San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
you know, then went to Toronto, then left, and now he's trying to rebuild that with the Clippers. That's an arduous process. He's been hurt. It hasn't been easy. Look what they're trying to do down in New Orleans with Zion. He's been hurt. They bring
great
in C.J. McCollum. You got Brandon Ingram. You're trying to build the culture. You like the way that's going. Toronto has a great culture. But, I mean, Fred VanVleet, they paid him a lot of money. He is a part of their DNA. Pascal Siakam. But still, they're not at the top of the upper echelon. Phoenix has a great culture.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do with DeAndre Ayton? That could be another piece. He can slide in because the culture, well, their culture is set with their head coach.
Absolutely.
The ownership is a different conversation.
Ooh, Robert Sarver.
But, like, it's still, their basketball culture is pretty set there.
Yeah. Culture can be set. You don't want somebody messing up the cement.
Great.
You're going to bring it with Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he would do that. That's the last thing I would want to put out there, that he would mess that up.
Yeah.
But if you're going to accommodate him, there's a certain cost you got to pay. If you're going to do that, he's worth it. But how much is that worth? How much is that worth to Kevin Durant, that if you're going to do this again, that a situation creeps up you didn't want to be a part of, you want out of that? How much is it worth to Kevin Durant to do that once again?
You know, it's funny, Freddie. We in the media – we love players that speak up and say what's on their mind, and they're able to dictate what they want to do. But you kind of see that from the ownership perspective. You're like, man, I much rather have somebody that doesn't give me any drama. There are no highs and the lows. It's consistent. I don't want to be on a roller coaster ride wondering if you're going to show up or if you're not going to show up. If there's something that happened, like, you know, Highland Park that just happened. Prayers to everything happened in Highland Park. But, like,
amen.
You know, do you want to make that a statement in what you're talking about,
sure.
as it relates to coming up, showing up? There's a lot going on.
With so much going on, the last thing you need, no matter what, is extra, especially extra that you did not create. That's why, preferably, Josiah had enough. He said, you know what? I signed up for you guys, you and Kyrie Irving. 3 years, it hasn't worked out. I've done everything you wanted me to do for you guys. You wanted James Harden? I brought you in. I brought that. You wanted DeAndre Jordan to start over Jared Allen?
Paid him $40 million. By the way, $40 million for a guy at that stage of his career.
Exactly.
It shows you who was in power from the beginning.
No doubt about that. You didn't want Kenny Atkinson anymore. I brought in Steve Nash. You know who Joe Tsai was?
No head coaching experience.
None at all. Joe Tsai, you ever see the movie Jumping the Broom?
Mm-hmm.
When the one played talking to his mother, he said, Mom, you wanted love? I give you that. You wanted respect? I give you that too. But you got to change. You got to change, Mom. Joe Tsai said, I've done changing. I'm done doing this. You have to change. And if that means you want out of here, then so be it. I'm going to wipe my hands of you. But that does mean I'm going to do it on your time.
Mm.
I'm not going to do it when you want me to when it comes to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Now we'll see how they handle that.
That's what I said. I said before, I said, hey, props to Sean Marks and Joe Tsai because they signed up for it kind of knowing to a degree what that was going to entail and having to manage very, very strong personalities that are willing to tell you what they want. And if they don't get it, that's going to be a little bit of an issue, right? So I'd much rather have culture over players all day. Like, create the right foundation that is suitable, knowing what you're going to get from individuals.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Jay Williams.
I still think you can do that with KD, though.
You can, but does KD want to do it?
Agreed. That's the question.
Because we've seen his partner in crime, Kyrie Irving, doesn't want to. Can KD do that? And because we know he can make that work no matter where he goes, no matter what culture he decides to join it with. I know he can make that work. The question is, does he want to?
So my partner in crime on college basketball, Seth Greenberg, is with us now. Seth, and I'm curious, you've coached strong personalities on the collegiate level. How would you approach this if you were Joe Tsai or Sean Marks as it relates to KD? Because like I told Freddie, the package that Rudy Gobert got, 5 first-round picks, 4 players, was tremendous. I need something way better than that for Kevin Durant. And if I don't get that, I'm not sure I'm just moving him.
Jerry, well, what you said this morning, I was driving Jackie G to the airport at 4:30 in the morning, or whatever time it was, and I heard what you said. Here's the deal. It's almost like scheduling. Everyone gives people a hard time in college on scheduling, and everyone does what's in their best interest in scheduling. All right? You don't have to schedule someone for someone else's best interest. Just schedule for your own best interest.
Sure.
The same thing Josiah right now. Like, you know, KD wants out. First of all, that's great, KD. We have a contract. And, you know, when you were paid $40 million when you weren't playing and we stood by you, that was no problem. When you wanted Steve Nash to be your coach, all right, we bought into it. Well, you know what? You got to buy into us a little bit. So, like, you can give me all the teams you want. But we're going to do in the end what's in our best interest because we have a business to run. And our business was predicated on having you here for the next 4 years. Our business was predicated on, obviously, when we re-signed Kyrie, just trying to run this thing back. So, look, I agree with you what you said before. And I do think that time heals. I heard a little bit what Adam Schefter said. But, you know, to me, I don't care what KD's list is. I'll tell you the one thing the Nets need, and people haven't talked about it, and he's got, like, a free pass, and I loved him as a player. You think if they had better leadership, maybe a different coach, they wanted Nash, but, I mean, if they had better leadership, they'd have better culture. They'd have some more experience. They'd have maybe a head coach that not only is a player's coach, but a guy that has dealt with the drama that you're going to have to deal with in coaching, not playing with, but coaching two great players. No one ever talks about, you know, maybe if they changed their head coach and brought in someone with a stronger personality that had experience, maybe this could change. Seth, Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes all sense in the world. I mean, how about one of the first couple of days that Steve Nash was hired, Kyrie then comes out and says, I don't really see the Nets having a head coach at all. Right? So, like,
I'm saying.
Exactly. There's no, and Seth, you and I know about this because we talked about it all the time. We still do. There's something to be said about accountability. There's something where somebody is willing to say, I don't give a damn what you say to me. This is what I expect from you. And if you're not willing to do that, if we don't have alignment, then I'm not sure I can have you be one of the leaders of my team because you need to be a reflection of me. So I
100%. Hey, core beliefs, non-negotiables, and are the keys to developing a culture. And then a buy-in. And, you know, your best players. If you can't coach your best players, you can't coach your team. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you can't be demanding on your best players and hold them accountable, and if you think about it, it starts with Kyrie and his lack of, you know, availability. This is not anything new with Kyrie. And unfortunately for KD, he's not strong enough as a personality to stand on his own 2 feet and say, wait a second, I wanted to have my own team and build around it. You know, people want to play with me. Like, Here's the thing that I don't understand about KD. Like, dude, you're the baddest dude in the world. People want to play with you. I'm not sure everyone wants to play with Kyrie, but people want to play with you. So you know what? Ben Simmons, I'm going to get you on my team, all right? Myself, we're going to get some other guys that want to play with me because maybe we're going to move Kyrie. That's fine. Why doesn't he have that mindset? He's too busy tweeting at people and responding to people. Like, dude, like, you don't have to do that. You're Kevin Durant. And like, that's the thing. But is that the thing? And Jay, you were that great player. I mean, you two-time college player. Is that just something you either have it or you don't? You don't see yourself that way? Like, you saw yourself that way.
Yeah,
does he just not see himself that way?
I'm not sure. You know, like, and also off your stuff about tweeting, like, I'm never gonna be, even like when we had our little thing, like, somebody's like, oh, you gotta go back at him. I'm like, I'm not going back, dude. I know who I am. I'm cool. I'm straight.
Right.
Like, I'm not turning this into come on my show. Like, let's debate. Let's go back. Like, I'm not doing this for entertainment. Like, I'm just telling you how I
right.
Like, where my mind goes. Right. But like, that's a grown ass man handling it that way. Right. Like, and you want him to do that too. Speaking of that, though, Seth, I do want to ask you. You said having the strong personality to combat Kyrie, right, to force Kyrie to say, meet me in the middle. If you are the Brooklyn Nets team, let's say you do find that trade partner in the Lakers, can LeBron be that for Kyrie now at this stage of his career? I know he was to that degree before when Kyrie was younger, but that kind of ultimately hit ahead. Like, do you see that working out now because of the way Kyrie can lead? I mean, the way LeBron can lead?
I think it can because Kyrie's running out of options. I think between LeBron and, like, if he goes to the Lakers and he becomes a distraction again, right now it's Boston. You know, now it's Brooklyn. Now it's the Lakers. He's running out of options. The other thing is the dude's played for a max contract.
Yes, he is.
So, like, to me, that's why I thought it was going to work with the Nets. Like, I thought next year, best year ever. Because here's the deal. I mean, he's been told, we'll pay you your contract, but we're not giving you a max contract. And I don't care, unless he gets KD to go with him, no one's giving him a max contract. They might give him 2 years. They're not giving him the 4 and 5 years.
I wouldn't give him 4 years.
They're not. So,
I wouldn't do it.
Mm-mm, yeah, and let's face it, and you actually have been his greatest supporter.
Because this is business too now, Seth. This is business. Like, and recognizing what's going on business wise, I'm like, hey, look, here's what I'm willing to do. If that doesn't work for you, then great. Then let's figure it out. Because by the way, I'd much rather be shut of all the headache. It's not just like the pandemic. It's the lack of communication. Seth, you and I have a good relationship. If so, like, when someone was going down, when I call you, yo, Seth, look, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm not sure. You know, my family's in this bind. This is how I feel about it. At least I give you a heads up, Seth, because we have that relationship. But if I just do something out of the blue and it affects you and what your goals are, you're looking at me like, yo, dude, like, you can't even call me or communicate with me. I think it's the lack of communication with Sean Marks and Josiah, where they feel disrespected because it's happened over time. And again, that's the problem.
You know why he does that, though, Jay Will? Because he does it because then he has control of the relationship.
There you go. There you go. He's had it from the beginning.
Now, early on. Let's face it. I mean, like, the dude just disappeared at times. But now, all of a sudden, and I think this is a stance, and I got to be honest with you. I mean, I heard you talking earlier about the money that guys are getting paid. Bad players make $40 million.
Yo, man.
Yes.
You ain't lying.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying bad players, because you're playing in the NBA, you're a good player. But guys that, like, that can help you win are getting huge contracts. That can help you win. I mean, that are proven that they can't play and are not what I call playoff players. Like, there are 82-game players, but then there are guys that, you know, can help you win the playoffs. So, I mean, it's like Monopoly money now, man. It's absolutely incredible. So, I mean, I was impressed that the Nets finally said enough's enough we've got to develop a culture. You're right. How can you develop a culture without having everyone have both feet in?
No.
You can't.
No, no doubt.
Because you're only as good as your locker room. You and I always talk about that all the time. And you're only as good as having people in your organization that when the meeting, after the meeting, everyone's on the same page. Because the meeting's great. But it's the meeting after meeting, when dudes go back into the locker room, when guys go to dinner. That's where you find out what your culture is. When you're not there, when the head coach is not there, when the GM's not there, when the personnel director's not there, when guys get together and are just cutting it up, that's when you find out. Because if someone gets off says something that's out of line, if you have a good culture, there's someone in that conversation, in that circle, that what? Pulls that person back in and say, "Oh, wait a second here now. We're trying to win. We can't have that." And that, I don't think the Nets have ever had that.
Great, great conversation. Our man Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst. Great follow on Twitter at Seth on Hoops. Is only going to get more and more murkier involving Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and their futures, and the Brooklyn Nets as well. He joined us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Give the great work, Seth. Safe travels as well, my friend, and you take care.
All right, Notorious.
Hey, that's a big-time combination. Freddie Coleman and my man, J. Will, that's a dangerous combination.
Yes, it is.
I'm just here to be happy that the wheel came around, not get in the way and mech it up.
Get out of here, man.
That's all I care about.
All right, SG.
Thanks, Seth.
All right, later, guys.
Love you too, my friend. By the way, hit him on Twitter, Seth on Hoops. By the way, you can also hit us on Twitter as well. I'll tell you what, that conversation, not just talking about in terms of the financial aspect, but it's one thing to talk about we have a culture. But if people have to question what that culture is, then you don't have one. You don't question that with the Miami Heat. You know what that is. You know what it looked like the San Antonio Spurs. You mentioned the Patriots. You knew what that looked like with or without Tom Brady. No one has ever talked about culture with the Brooklyn Nets. It's always been about trying to find something but not establishing something.
Well, they were moving in the right direction with the culture. I mean,
right.
You talk about the young assets. I mean, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert.
They have some guys.
Kenny Atkinson, who is a great skills and developmental coach. So they were moving in the right direction. When they decided to take that leap, it was a significant leap. But one of the things, when you bring in a lot of big dogs, you relinquish control of that culture.
Absolutely. No question.
Because now all your foundational pieces that you were going to build around, you're using them as tradable assets. And the Steve Nash move was, I mean, I love Steve Nash. He's I've known him forever. We were both represented by Bill Duffy. I think he is a very smart individual. I mean, but to ask Steve Nash as a first-year head coach to all of a sudden now the pressure is on you to win a world championship, I mean, that's daunting. That's daunting. While you're not knowing what you're getting from one player, when a player, your star player, says, and I quote, on October 1st, 2020, I quote, "I don't really see the Nets having a head coach," end quote. So think about that. You're just getting the gig, your first year head coaching. You've done this because your two star guys, Kevin Durant and you, have a great relationship. Kyrie buys in, and your other superstar says that. So with that being one of the quotes out there, how do you go into your locker room? How do you address that?
Well, you know how I would have addressed it? I would have pulled Kyrie Irving aside and said, "You can feel the way you want, but I'm the damn head coach of this team. And if you're not going to get on the be along, then we're going to have a problem. And you need the management of the Nets behind you." If he had done that and the Nets manager said, "We're without coach," I guarantee you Kyrie Irving would have stood down, or the Nets said, "We can't go further with this guy." Something would have had to happen early. Instead, nobody said a word. They wanted to placate Kyrie. They wanted to placate Kevin Durant. And 3 years later, here they are about to not have both of these guys going into next season.
Well, I know they've had conversations about it. It's just matter. It's a matter of whether the conversation was heard. There were conversations now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, trust me.
Yeah.
I know who Sean Marks is.
Yeah.
There were conversations had.
Right.
It's whether the conversations were heard or not.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Exactly. Well, people can talk, but do you listen? Regarding one particular guy, you only listen to
what he
says.
And then what are the consequences if I keep listening but I'm not engaged?
I'm not saying. We're just saying. He's J. Will and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. In 20 minutes, your calls on which superstar benefit most from teaming with Kevin Durant. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But this young quarterback is going to prove a lot of you wrong because you wanted to be right about him. That's part of Two A Days next on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio's NFL Two A Days, an in-depth preview of every team in the National Football League. Two teams every day as we storm towards training camp. NFL Two A Days continues right here on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trayvon Walker, linebacker, Georgia.
Since they hired Doug Peterson, it's like a complete 180-degree turn. Everybody is happy. No one's miserable. There's no dysfunction. They feel like they're getting a fresh start.
The thing with Trevor, almost like hitting the reset button just a little bit, really developing his talent and allowing him to kind of showcase that on the field.
NFL Two-A-Days, two teams every day as we storm towards training camp.
And believe me when I tell you, the Jacksonville Jaguars cannot get past 2021 quick enough. But Doug Peterson, now the head coach, won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles as quarterback in Philadelphia, and many people believe that is going to be a benefit to Trevor Lawrence. Jay Wentz, Freddie Coleman, or Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max doing 2-A-Days on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as TuneIn, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's bring in a man who was the strength and conditioning coach of Jacksonville Jaguars, also played at The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State!
That's right. He is Anthony Schlegel. Can't wait to get his thoughts on what's going on with Jacksonville from last year to this year and Ohio State in a brand new Big Ten. And Anthony, you know Urban Meyer pretty well. You with this team. What went wrong so much last year in Urban Meyer's only year in Jacksonville?
Man, that's a loaded question, guys. you know, I would say this. It's different. The league's different than college. Personnel is different. People – like, listen, we all know there's guys that work for Nick Saban. There's guys that work for Urban Meyer. Some guys really like it. Some guys don't. It's a profession. It's also knowing who you hire and who you bring in that meshes well. And then it's also loyal to you. Let's not kid ourselves in a game of college football and the NFL. It's who you know. That's how you get jobs. Guess what? That's how I got the job at Jacksonville Jaguars. So we know what that is. But when you go into a situation like that, coming from a college to the NFL, and then not necessarily knowing all the guys that are on your staff or that you hire, having previous experience with them and how they're going to react to how you coach, that's difficult. And so that's kind of how the recipe started, along with all the other things and trials that went on, most by people's own doing. But I'll say this. This is something that nobody really talks about, and that is we have great dudes in Jacksonville because – they handled it very well. And I played in the league. I played at Ohio State. The dudes just went out and handled the business like pros. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I don't think people give enough appreciation to professional athletes. I mean, we're sitting there with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We suck, right? We're 2-whatever we were. We go out, we beat the Indianapolis Colts. We're healthy. Guys are still taking care of their bodies. But there was a lot of reasons that we weren't good. We were on the cusp of having some success. And I actually feel, based off of last year and the guys that they have coming back, that core nucleus, that they're going to have a chance because they got a great quarterback and they got some straight-up dudes. So I'm excited to watch it as an outsider now. But I can just tell you guys, from that situation, the men handle themselves like pros, and I appreciated them, and it was great to be a part of it with them.
Anthony, let's talk about that star quarterback. You said something that really perked my ears as a former athlete. Because I think it's actually something that's not spoken about as much as it needs to be spoken about. How you are coached, it matters.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm curious, how do you think Trevor Lawrence needs to be coached in order for him to reach his maximum potential?
That's a great question. And you know what?
It really is.
Last year, Shoddy, I thought Shoddy coached the hell out of them.
Yep.
You know, I think part of it was really, what is the identity of the offense? How can you really coach a kid up when you don't necessarily know the identity? And that necessarily wasn't the Devils' fault either. You know, it's kind of like, what do we do with this guy from college to the league? But I think that with Trevor, he wants you to be firm, right? Like, it was tough. Like, you had Gardner Minshew, an alpha. Gardner's an alpha now, and this is a lot of things people don't realize, too, is the situations that guys come in. Gardner is an absolute alpha dog, but you also got another guy who needs to be the alpha coming into a room. Probably why they traded him. You know, I mean, if you just think about it, logistic, like, real talk, right? He's the alpha. But now Trevor, throughout that season, became the alpha. I remember one time he got absolutely smoked. Like, came out, went back in. That was kind of a turning point from a toughness side that the guys saw. Not for me, not necessarily even for Trevor, but the guys saw it. And he really kind of turned that corner. How he needs to be coached, I just know the dude's in the building all the time. And I think that somebody that can teach him the why, he's more apt to digest it. Right? And again, this is also guys, when we all played, what was it? Hey, man, you got the A gap. If this guy comes, this guy just smashes his face. Yes, coach. Right? There's no why. There wasn't a why. We just did.
Right.
I think now it's more of the why in the scheme to give me a better understanding as to what we are doing, because the quarterback is now taking on so many more things at the line of scrimmage. That's what he wants, and that's how you have to teach him, along with being accountable and having a high standard. But he embraces that and wants it.
Yeah, and he embraced that a lot last year because he had to deal with that when everything was falling apart. That had nothing to do with Trevor Lawrence. Great stuff by Anthony Schlegel, former strength and conditioning coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hit him on Twitter at Schlegelvelli, joining Freddie Coleman and Jay Will on Keyshawn, Jay Will Max. That's a great Twitter handle name, by
That's
the way. That's
handle.
Number one.
Hey,
Schlegel, hey, how did you come up with that, by the way?
Schlegelvelli. Hey, man, Players Club soundtrack, Schlegelvelli. I mean, that's a long time ago.
Hey, anytime you quote Tupac, that's good for the show and good for the soul. Damn, it's good for the country from that standpoint. Speaking of being good for the show when it comes to the Big Ten, what are your thoughts, your school, Ohio State, in the Big Ten, and USC and UCLA about to join this conference in the next coming years?
Well, you guys know it has nothing to do with our affinity toward our alma maters. It's all about eyeballs in the market. And, it, you know, that's what it does, but it also opens up even the Michael Thomas came to Ohio State and Michael Thomas was from California. It opens that up. Now, Ohio State has always had a breadth and a reach nationally.
Yeah.
It will open up some of the western part of the Big Ten to go recruit. I think it's college football, we all know, is going to expand to where you have a couple of power conferences, and then they're just going to tell the NCAA to go away because they have no value whatsoever. They had zero. We saw that through the pandemic when it took them 2 years to figure it out, and they still haven't figured it out. So that being said, I think bringing those two in, now you're at 16. Notre Dame, what do you want to do? You know, crap or get off the pot. It's time to go. Yes, we want that, but you would add more value to us. Let me rephrase that. We will also help add value to you more than you going to a SEC where you're the one that's really bringing all the value. You know, our eyeballs have been always the best in the middle. But I think it's better alignment for them with who they play and from a recruiting standpoint as well. So I can see it going to 20 very, very quickly.
So
I don't know who they are, but I can see it happening.
So, Anthony, both my mom and my dad graduated from the Ohio State. I grew up a Buckeyes fan. I mean, to go to your point even more, C.J. Stroud is from California, right? So it talks about the reach and the bandwidth of how Ohio State – recruits, but let me ask you about these two conferences. When you look at the SEC and the Big Ten, are we talking about these two conferences just being superpower conferences? Is this the direction that we're actually going towards?
What do you, you know, I, first off, awesome. Go Bucks.
You already know what time it is. I need you to take me to the shoe to go to the game.
I know, man. I love it. I tell you what, I think you're going to eventually see three.
Okay.
Or unless they go two and it's 24 and 24, right, of those two, so 48. That's the only thing I can think about. Because you also have some really good teams and really good brands. And that's how I'm looking at it, too. I'm looking at it from dollars. Like, people, you know, the Charlotte area, like, who are you going to pick up these major markets and who's going to be that team and who's going to be left out?
Right.
And where do they go from there? So I could see it being 48 or three and then them coming together. But for all intents and purposes right now, at least two. And so that's the Big Ten and the SEC. But you know what? They put themselves there because the ACC has always been a one-horse pony in Clemson the entire time. The Big Ten is now at least having to get some people on the wagon like, hey, I got to up my facilities. I got to go recruit national. Because guess what, people? It's hard to do that. Like, that's what the thing, everybody, oh, go get the five-star kids. No, it is hard to go on the road as coaches. Fine, this is why Mark Pandoni does such a great job at Ohio State. He finds these guys. He watches all the film and sees, like, hey, what about this guy? This is a four-star guy. I think he could be a dude. Let's go get him. Or a three-star guy. But that's what you have to do to be that. Then you have to develop them. And if you can't get the five stars, you got to be elite at the development. And that's kind of what you're starting to see a little bit from a Michigan State. Like, that's the only way they can have any type of presence is if they go get some handpicked dudes, they stay healthy, and then they develop the rest.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different value prop. Everybody has something they can bring to the table, but it's about the coaching staff and the support staff to be able to execute it. But I'm excited to have a little bit of the juice for the Big Ten because playing a USC and a UCLA, I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what those crowds are going to look like with both of those schools.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus, you get warm weather.
And warm weather. Oh. Rose Bowl be damned. They don't need that. They got USC and UCLA in the Big Ten. Anthony, my brother, great stuff, my friend. Keep it the great work. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Ant.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Appreciate y'all.
It sounds good. By the way, Slagovelli on Twitter. His like great it. Twitter handle, Anthony Slagle, former strength and conditioning coach for Jacksonville Jaguars and a man who played for Ohio State. With Jay Will and Freddie Coleman, thanks for joining us. And Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, and which superstar benefit the most from teaming with Kevin Durant? Your phone calls are next at 888-729-3776 on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
Our man Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst.
That's a big-time combination. Freddie Coleman and my man Jay Will. That's a dangerous combination.
Yes, it is. All right, SG.
Thanks, Seth.
All right, love you guys.
Love you too, my friend.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Got to be open and honest with everybody here.
This ought to be good.
Yesterday was a... It was a roller coaster of emotions between my son showing the world the package.
He really did.
For the first time running around the pool. It's okay, guys. He's one. Like, he's just allowed to run around naked. It makes everybody uncomfortable in a control room. James gets anxiety about where's the kid going to go to the bathroom. He'll figure it out. It's nature. Yeah, take a leaf and wipe.
Pat is breathing through a brown paper bag, but go on.
Pat's like, I don't want to have any kids after this story.
Oh, yeah. He's already going to the doctor.
Anyway, Freddie, I had my boy.
That's what I want to know. I just...
He didn't have a number two. He didn't have a number two, and then he did.
That's what I'm worried about.
Nobody knows where it is now.
And nobody should.
Nobody's looking for it until, knowing my luck, I'll step in it later while I'm doing yard work.
Great.
But I'll blame my dog.
Exactly.
I'll blame my dog. Anyway, so my boy came over, right? So I got, you know, two of my uncles were over at the house, and they always talking trash about, you make sure you got good space, partner. You know, we bringing that today.
Yeah.
We bring it because, you know, they like undefeated, and they ain't really undefeated. They just talk like they are.
Exactly.
You know, two old guys with the Bluetooths on.
Yeah.
While there's music going on, handling the conversation at the same time.
And anybody they played is probably no longer around to justify if they are undefeated or not.
Yeah, so my boy comes over. We're playing. And we get all the way to the last book, and we win. I'm like, man, this is my boy. All right. He said, because I never played with him before.
Yeah.
Man, this dude reneged on the last hand. Now, Pat, do you know what reneged means? Costello, he's not listening anymore. James, do you know what
reniging
means?
Idea. Pat doesn't know either. He's giving the thumbs down.
Yates, can you explain what reniging means?
We both can.
So, like, if I say I have four books.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then
you only
a
get
club
three.
Comes out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have clubs.
And you've been cutting clubs. The whole game.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I don't throw the club. And then last hand comes around, second last hand comes around, it's a random club.
Throwaway books. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You cannot renege. If you have the suit, you have to throw the suit.
So my homie was cutting hearts from the opening hand, Yates.
Wow.
The opening hand. Have been cutting hearts. We won like four books off him cutting hearts. Right. I'm like, oh, man. Last throwaway hand, this dude threw a three of hearts. I said... And I tried not to react. I was like, oh, Lord, don't let anybody see, because I'll cheat now. Yeah. I'll tell you the truth. I ain't going to call my own teammate.
People will spot that, though.
Man.
You guys might as well be talking like the parents in Charlie Brown right now. I am so lost.
Thing.
I have
How
no idea
How have you
idea
never played spades?
No one ever asked me to.
It's definitely. Well, no. They play, no
James, what does that mean, James? Yeah. I don't know. You're pointing to yourself.
I mean, look at me, probably.
My friends that look like you know how to play spades?
Have you played hearts?
No.
Then
we have ESPN spade games.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm not invited. That's
10
why.
10 seconds, by the way.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Why.
10 seconds, by the way.
This discussion will continue in about 45
minutes.
You guys
like an Uno set. It's the only games you guys play.
Spades
Uno.
And hearts.
I can do that.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why Freddie go right to that old man, that old school dance? He put that. He said, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
His hands went out to the side like he was about to hit a two-step.
That's the equivalent. If you were sitting down, you got to do that, because if you're standing up, that's a two-step.
Exactly.
He'd be right in the middle.
Because the old school guys know how to have rhythm. You new school cats, rhythm you is just bobbing your head. That's not really rhythm.
Freddie, I just saw a group, everywhere I went this past weekend, people dancing, rocking their hips. It's 49,000 degrees outside.
Doesn't
and they
matter.
Sweating, rocking their hips.
You know what? Okay. Everybody's been rocking around my way. I mean, honestly, never mind. It's everywhere, yo.
I mean,
Drake is everywhere
now.
House music is a thing now.
He's even trumped what Kendrick Lamar, who just came out with something, not even what, 3 weeks ago. The main Honestly Never Mind came out by Drake. It's like Kendrick Lamar said, I got to put out a new joint. This guy just came
out. You
got
to get
it
out early, Freddie. Because Beyonce is coming, and you know how that
her
goes.
Her new record is no joke.
Beehive ain't playing around.
Her new joint is no joke. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Records on the Ones and Twos with J. Will and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. Where should Kevin Durant go in terms of which superstar would benefit the most by teaming up with him? 888-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Mike in Ohio, which superstar would benefit the most from teaming with Kevin Durant? Who's that person and why?
What's going on, fellas?
What up, Mike?
What's up, Mike? What's up, big Mike?
I just want to say, honestly, he shouldn't go nowhere. Him and Kyrie.
Facts.
He should stay there. You know, the comeback story, if they win a championship with Ben Simmons, oh, man, it's a fantasy. But if he does go, he needs to go and play with Zion. That is the biggest complimentary piece for Zion.
So, Mike, I would just ask you, from what you've seen thus far, Zion got that $231 million extension, has only played 85 games. If you're KD at 33 years old, you have 4 years left on your deal. Are you betting on Zion being available for that run that you need?
Yes.
I believe
in Zion. I believe... You know, he wants to win. I mean, look at his size. I mean, the way he's just watching him play. I mean, if you give him somebody like KD, who would not play?
He's going to make himself available. You giving up Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum? Who are you giving up?
Now that,
we don't need a lot more than that.
Yeah, and some picks.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely. I mean, it's KD. I would give them both up. I'd give up Ingram, McCollum. They want some picks. Whatever.
I'm gonna want some more.
I think
because who's gonna stop KD and Zion? Yeah. I think that's how I'm looking at it.
I think Mike would give a Lake Pontchartrain.
But I'm with you, Mike, on your other point too that you said earlier. I don't. For me, what I expected Kevin Durant to be like, all right, this is not working.
Right.
Kyrie, do what you gotta do. But I came here. This is mine. Like, this is mine. So yeah. Ben Simmons, Sean Marks, Josiah, what are we gonna do? And how are you guys going to surround me with the right pieces to win the championship? I'm going to give you a year. You can't figure out a year, then we have some problems.
Not for nothing. KD is great enough that even if Kyrie's not there, he can carry a team to the championship. He damn near did it 2 years ago with a one-leg James Harden, no Kyrie Irving who was out being injured. And if his shoe size was different, can you think how two franchises would have been changed?
The Brooklyn Nets, Milwaukee Bucks? The East has gotten a lot better, though.
I clearly understand that.
Obviously being there, yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But that's not to say that the Brooklyn Nets would not have gotten better because – Kyrie Irving is the kind of guy with the kind of ego that he has that they win without him. That's something he won't be able to stand. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. I know I can help this team become a champion. Then and even Brooklyn Nets culture would have been there from that standpoint.
I hear.
Just think if his shoe size was different, how that would have changed.
Gilbert in El Paso. What you got, Gil?
So, good morning, guys. So, anyways, I'm thinking the best option for him will be going to Philly and MB will benefit greatly about it. I don't know what the cap space in it and all that good jazz is all about, but I think that's the best fit for him right now. I know everybody's going to black label him forever, no matter where he goes, but Philly is the answer to me anyways.
You see, I love this thought experiment because I put KD on like 28 different teams already.
and they all work.
I think about Joel Embiid and KD and what that can look like and those two and the little beef that they have, but how they can – that might be the most petty team in the history of teams if those two are together. I just don't like – if you're the Nets, like, do I want James Harden back? I don't know. Seeing James Harden the last 2 years, do I want that?
Or Tyrese Maxey?
Tyrese Maxey ain't enough, and I love Tyrese Maxey.
No, it's part of a package.
And I don't want Tobias Harris.
You're going to have to. You have to make that match up, you probably would have to make
it. Yates is going
to
keep trying to tell you, take Tobias. No.
Yeah, that's what he keeps doing.
Take that.
KD and the superstar he should play with, your phone calls, and what about his future in Brooklyn? That's next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.